see where the Lord takes us. He's going to give us something to help us to be truly grateful during this season, not just because of the season, not just because of the holiday, but because every day for a believer should be Thanksgiving. Now, do not cook a turkey every day. There's a lot of reasons why not to. One is, I mean, you know what I'm saying. Don't cook a turkey every day. But every day we should be a Thanksgiving day. Amen. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Some people ask me, Brother Venable, I'm having trouble determining the will of God. And that's a legitimate concern. And a lot of us have problems discerning the will of God. We have a heart to obey, but we want to discern His will. So I always tell people, let's begin with, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And if we start showing Him that we are sensitive to obey His will, then He will reveal. It'll be easier for Him to reveal His will. It's not easy for Him to show it. It's easier for us to discern it. That's the hard part. But if we begin to do those things that are clear in the Word of God, then that is not clear yet to us will come into focus. If you have a heart to obey and you begin to live a life of obedience, you become sensitive to the Holy Spirit's promptings, the Word of God's teachings. Amen. And then God can show you things in His Word and show you things that are concerning His will. So in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me today. And for everything give thanks. He puts a premium on gratitude. If you listen to our morning sermon, it'll help you see what a premium that He puts on that. Everybody say, you can't gaslight God. Amen. Anybody know what gaslight means? I'm not going to ask you to go into the detail like a dictionary, but you know what gaslighting is? Amen. Well, it'll be explained in that morning sermon. And it's a very relevant term to so many circumstances in our life. And when it, what it, I think it was P.T. Barnum that said you can fool some of the people all of the time. And you can fool all the people some of the time. And I added to that, but you can't fool God any of the time. Man looks on the outward. God looks deeper. God looks on the heart. And the problem with our hearts, until they are changed, until our heart is changed, it's deceitfully wicked. It's desperately wicked above all things and deceitful. So we got desperate wickedness and we got deception, and it's all about the condition of our heart. Thank the Lord, He's able to change things in our life. Make us new creations, praise God. Give us a pure heart and a clean heart. Hallelujah. We're glad you came today. We were not waiting for you purposely. Yeah, we were. We said, we can't start without this guy right here. Amen. So good to see you. Been praying for your daughters, as I promised to do. I wanted you to know that. They're in a time of life when they're going to choose paths, and the devil wants to get all of us on the wrong path, but God has a path of righteousness for every one of us, and we're going to see some good changes because we're believing God for our children and grandchildren and wives and husbands and loved ones and co-workers that we work with. If we keep praying, we're going to see God do some mighty wonderful things. Brother Taylor, would you give us a centering song today? Something to just give us a quiet moment to focus on Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just as I am, without one plea. I just want to get saved every time I hear that song, but I'm already saved. But if I wasn't, I would get saved. God bless you today. I'm so glad you're here today. Amen. It's a joy to see you, brother, and see what God has done in you and in me and in us today. Hallelujah. Glad to be in a church with testimonies. And I just, in this vein of thanksgiving, before we worship, one more thing while it's right here in my mind. The Apostle Paul interacted with believers that he had such a good experience with. And he had some bad experiences, don't get me wrong. But he had such a good experience interacting with them. He said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. When I think of you, I thank God for you. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to say that to you in all sincerity and love. You've been so good to me. I interact with pastors. I've been meeting with pastors, three other pastors, for 15 years and counting. That's a long time for four guys to get along from different backgrounds and denominational affiliations. We're not a denomination. We're a fellowship of independent ministries worldwide, but we are part of the a fellowship. But we were able to love each other as brothers. One of the requirements is that we all have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we preach and teach He is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. He is the way to the God. This is not just a religion that is in conflict with everybody else. We are the followers of Jesus and the followers of His teaching, unashamedly, unabashedly. Now, different denominational perspectives on certain things, but the cardinal truths we must be in alignment, agreement with. And I'm just so grateful today, because I've heard some stories that would curl your toenails about what some pastors and churches have went through when they got in conflict with one another. And I'm so grateful. You've been good to me. And in fact, I couldn't appreciate you as much until I heard how bad some of them had been treated. Some of them had to get peace warrants. There were police called on occasions and all kinds of things. And that's not just them, because through that affiliation, I've been able to speak to 60 pastors at a time sometimes at a gathering and share. And I'm so grateful to have come to this place without bitterness, without unforgiveness, without being, you know, just exasperated. I'm glad to say and look you in the eye and say it. You've been good to me, and I thank you for it so very, very much. And you've been good to my family. You've been nothing but a blessing. You haven't been a burden. I mean, I could let you become a burden, but when you really, you know, go through something heavy, I quickly bring you before the Lord. And once I bring you before the Lord, quite frankly, I don't worry about you. That was a holy murmur instead of an amen. It doesn't help for me to worry about you after I have brought you before the Lord in prayer. Amen. And we have chairs for these folks coming in. We're so happy that you came so we could say we had to put out chairs Sunday to accommodate you. Amen. There's good. These are the comfortable ones, but these will work. We can bring those two forward if you like. Amen. Amen. All right. So we got family here today. Amen. We're so glad to have you. God bless you today. Good to have you today. God bless you today. Hallelujah. We're about to start the service, but I've been just blessing the congregation. Amen. So they'll keep being good to me. Praise the Lord. We love you today. We honestly do. I pray we've been a blessing to you. We'll continue to be a blessing to you. Hallelujah. I've been feeding sheep for 53 years and counting. as pastor, president, director, evangelist of a Holy Church of God. That means I've been around a long time. I am old school. You thought he was old school? Amen. He's only got me in years, that's all. Amen. Hallelujah. We love you today. Brother Taylor, would you ask the blessing on this service today?
Thank you, Father. Lord, let your glory fill this place, Lord. We thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your joy. Thank you for your peace, Lord. Lord, this is a day that you have made. We rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. Move in our midst today, Lord God. Let your divine will be done. Stir us up to pray and to seek your face, Lord. We're living in the end time. You're coming soon after church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, Lord. Have your way today, Lord. Move, Malita. Stir us up, Lord God, to follow you closely, not at a distance, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to keep our minds stayed upon you. You said in your word, if you love me, keep my commandments. Lord, help us to keep your commandments. And your commandments are not grievous, Lord. Have your way today, Lord. Move in this service. Meet every need this present, Lord. Help us to open our understanding to your word, that we'll understand and do the will of God from the heart. Meet every need that's present, Lord God. Feed us, Lord God, and help us to receive your word and to be obedient to you. In the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How many believe that Jesus should be worshipped especially in the Thanksgiving season? We should give thanks unto the Lord for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So many Thanksgiving scriptures, you know, so many years. This is my 53rd year celebrating a Thanksgiving service with a congregation. And I'm so grateful to be in church this morning. As a Christian, not because I'm the pastor and I'm required to be here. You may have heard the story about a wife talking to her husband about going to church. And she said, "Honey, it's late. We're going to be late getting to church." He said, "I'm not going this morning." She said, "Well, why aren't you going this morning?" He said, "Well, number one, I don't think anybody likes me at church. I really don't think anybody likes me at church. And number two, they never invite me to, certain events that they have in their homes or anything. I'm never invited. They don't care whether I show up or not, so I'd just rather not go today." Greatly discouraged man. She said, "But honey, it's important that you be there." And he said, "Well, why is it so important that I be there?" He said, "Because you're the pastor." So pastors get discouraged sometimes. If you don't understand that, it's a pastor thing. We'll just fist bump on that. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I have to be here. I like what Chuck Swindoll said about that. He said, "People think I'm paid to be good. I'm paid to be good. That's why I try to do things right, because I'm the pastor and I'm salaried and I'm paid to be good." He said, "But out here in the congregation, it's a whole lot of people that are following the Lord, good people." And he said, "So you're the ones that are the greater witness when you go out into the marketplace of the world, not me, because people may recognize me as a pastor of almost a mega church, I guess, at that time." He said, "Because they think I'm paid to be good. But when you go out and follow Christ," he said, "they really notice, because you're good for nothing." Amen. And people notice when Christians go out and represent Jesus in their work clothes, in whatever environment they are in, that they just are followers of Jesus Christ consistently. It has an impact on other people. In fact, the Bible said we would be like a city that is set on a hill which cannot be hid. Praise God. So I want to be before I'm a pastor, before I'm a minister, I want to be a Christian who is a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to be known for that. Hallelujah. And I pray that I am. Now, Thanksgiving. I could say Happy Thanksgiving and from my house to your house. But I want it to be a blessed Thanksgiving to you. How many would rather have a blessed Thanksgiving than just a happy Thanksgiving? Thank you. Now, you that want the happy Thanksgiving, I start to say good luck, because it's a lot of things can interrupt your happiness. If your happiness is based on happenings, you're in trouble. Because Jesus said, in this world, and I always ask a question, make sure there's no aliens present. How many still live in this world? You're part of this fallen world. If it's based on happenings, if all the happenings in your life have to fall into place to keep you happy and make you happy, you're in trouble. Because Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. That means trouble. How many have already discovered, you've lived long enough to discover you're going to have troubles in life? How many, even as a Christian, have found out that you don't live in a bubble? You can't build your faith to some place where you never have trouble. And Jesus was preparing us for it when he said, in this world you shall have trouble. Tribulation, thelpsis, literally is the Greek word, and it means anguish and pressure. And trouble. Anguish, pressure, and trouble. So if our happiness is based on happenings, we're in trouble. Because we can't control that with our faith. We can't just believe God that everyone's going to love us, number one. Everyone's not even going to like you, let alone love you. Amen? Have you found that out yet? And not only are they not only going to not like you, but some people are going to come against you. And Jesus warned us about people we couldn't get away from. Thank God, after 8 hours, I could go home. I was bivocational for several years of this 53. I worked for Tampa Electric and out on a line crew with some guys that resented the fact that I was a Christian and wouldn't go drinking with them, and they thought I was some holier-than-thou self-righteous person. I had to prove that was not the case. But initially, I had a lot of problems out on a line crew. It got so bad that I carried cab money. And I didn't have much money, so we needed it for other things. But I told my wife, before I lose it on the job, amen, I'll call a cab and come home. I'll just walk off the crew wherever I am, find a pay phone, because I didn't have a, you know, this is pre-cell phone days. This is pre-beeper, actually. And amen. That's pretty bad when you have to go to work planning on walking off if you couldn't take it anymore. And I asked the Lord for grace to keep my job, because I needed the work and my family needed an income, and I hallelujah. God gave me the grace and allowed me to be a witness, but it was only by the grace of God. Hallelujah. And I could get away from him at least if I could just make it till 5 o'clock. I can go home, have some prayer time, drink a gallon of tea because I've been out in the sun all day. Amen. Eat whatever my wife had cooked up until I can, and go back for seconds. Hallelujah. Listen, if I can just make it to 5 o'clock, I'll be all right. And I made it, and made it, and made it, and made it, and made it for over 5 years until I became a full-time pastor of a church in Sulphur Springs called the Holy Church of God. Amen. Hallelujah. But God was good. And God was gracious. But the Bible said that your enemies will even be they of your own household. That's people you can't get away from. You're stuck with them. Amen? And when they begin to give you trouble, and I found out I wouldn't just have trouble on the job, but I'd have trouble with interrelationships within my own family. And not only that, but the family of God. Amen. We can be abrasive to one another. We can be abusive to one another if we don't walk in the love of Christ. Because in that love, there's forgiveness. Remember a movie years ago that said simply, love is never having to say you're sorry. In other words, if you really got that deep love for one another, you will never ever fail each other, and you'll never have to apologize because you'll never miss it. Oh, oh, oh. What a lie that is. Amen. Love means you say you're sorry and you ask for forgiveness. And if you get forgiveness, you maintain a relationship. It's the same way with God. You can't love Him good enough that you'll never, ever, whether in thought or deed, fail Him in some way and need to repent. No one is in that super, hyper state of sanctification. No one has ever attained that. And so the Scripture says to us in the New Covenant, if we say we have no sin, we're disingenuous. No. If we say we have no sin, we're not being totally honest. No. If we say we have no sin, we lie. We're trying to gaslight God. You can't do it. Amen. I'm so glad for forgiveness. I have an incentive to confess when I fail, because I can be forgiven. Thank God that I can be forgiven. How many are glad you can be forgiven? I looked at a list recently of tombstones. I don't know why I got into looking at tombstones. Maybe it's my age. I don't know, my stage of life. Amen. Hallelujah. But I was. It was these tombstones and the inscriptions that were kind of different on them, you know. All over America, this guy had done a kind of a documentary of documenting what was written on tombstones. And there was a lawyer, and in a particular town, small town, his last name was Odd. Something, something, Odd. O-D-D. True story. Because he looked at the background. He wanted to know the background on this particular tombstone, because the tombstone had no name on it. It had a date of birth, date of death, and had no name on it. So, he wanted to know why. So he went to, it was a small town, they told him the story, said that man all his life was made fun of because of his last name being Odd. So he decided to not have his name put on the tombstone. He said, when I'm dead, I want that to be it. I don't want anybody coming and seeing my name and thinking that's strange. So the first thing that happened, and one of his family members heard it and verified it, there were some people looking for a loved one in the cemetery, and they looked at that tombstone with no name on it, and they said, honey, there's no name on this tombstone. And her husband said, that's odd. So you can't, listen, you can't live a life of perfection. You can't live a life without criticism. I told a man one time, I said, you know, you're going to be criticized no matter what. No matter what you do. No matter what you say. So I'm going to try to watch everything I do and everything I say to avoid criticism. I'm going to do my best to live above that. And not do or say anything controversial. And of course, he turned to me and said, then, in that case, you'd better retire from ministry, because you're going to say things that's going to be controversial. I usually put it this way. If you think I'm rubbing the cat the wrong way, turn the cat around, because I represent a great king. And I'm not apologizing for what he has said in his word. But it's going to hit some of us wrong. I've had to repent after I had preached to you guys when I got home, because I realized that I'm included when I preach the word. I'm not up here on a pedestal preaching in a condescending way down to you. I'm part of the rank and file. before that title of pastor or preacher was put on me because I answered a call of God. Amen. I'm part of the rank and file. Someone told me one time, said, Pastor Venable, I want to be like you. And I thought, well, that's a good thing if you, it's my following Jesus. But they used a term that I'd not heard before, and it was bell sheep. I want to be a bell sheep. And I thought, well, what's a bell sheep? And so it got me looking into it. And it is a sheep that followed the shepherd so close that they tied a bell around that sheep's neck. And so when they came to a watering hole, an oasis to drink water, and the shepherd decided it's time to go, he didn't have to call all the sheep. All he had to do is get up and start walking, and the bell sheep would start following him. And when the rest of the sheep heard that bell, amen, they rank and file, they fell in line, and they followed the shepherd. And that person who told me, I want to be a bell sheep, I thought, you know something? That's what I want to be. I want to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, follow me. Everybody say, ding, ding, ding. Follow me as I follow Christ. Don't just follow me because of the position. Don't just follow me because I'm supposed to do this, supposed to do that. Follow me because I'm endeavoring with every bit of my heart and life to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. If I leave a legacy, it won't be the mega church that I established. How many know? It won't be that. But it'll be souls that are in the kingdom, because there are people that came to Christ under this ministry. And they escaped hell and gained heaven because they chose to receive Jesus as their Savior, because we preach the Word of God. We preach the gospel of the grace of God, which is the good news. Hallelujah. And there will be people that kept the faith because we set an example of victory. I want to tell you something. I'm not a victim. I've been through a lot, and I've got, my brother back here calls me soldier. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like a veteran of spiritual wars. Amen. And a veteran of emotional wars, and a veteran of all kinds of conflicts. I could think about them and want to crawl under a chair this morning. But I choose not to, because in all of these things I discovered God's grace is sufficient for me. That's why I know it's going to be sufficient for you. Say, Pastor Venable, you live in this clergy world. I got news for you. Clergy world means that the devil wants to shut you down and shut you up if you are a mouthpiece for God's word. He's relentless. He fights what he fears, and he's never let up. There's no time. If he ever lets up, I need to repent and get right with God. All those that will live godly, not just the preacher, but every child of God, everyone that decides to flesh this out, really live it, be real and authentic, shall suffer persecution. Everybody's going to get it in the neck. And it's not going to be just the spiritual oppression, but he's going to motivate people to hurt you, harm you, fail you, let you down, quit you, criticize you. Amen? He stirred up the women in one town. I don't know why he picked the women, but maybe, I don't know. This is not a sexist thing. He just stirred up the women. And he stirred up people to come against this evolving Christian church. And there was heavy persecution that came on them. If you live godly, you're going to be persecuted on your job, in your home, in your life. Things are going to happen. And they're going to be hurtful things. And we should wear them as a badge of authenticity. Because if you live for the Lord, amen. Jesus said, if you follow me, you can count on persecution. He literally warned us about that. It's going to take many different forms, but it's going to come to every one of us. He said, if they persecuted me. Strange Thanksgiving message, isn't it? Amen. Listen, you, really, Lord? Seriously? If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Amen. You are not greater than your Lord. So if they persecuted me, you can fully expect they're going to persecute you because you are now identified with me. You're one of those. Peter didn't want it. He tried to avoid it. In fact, he boldly said some of these folks might deny you, some of these other disciples, but I'll never deny you. And Jesus looked him in the eye, and he said, before the cock crows in the morning, you will have denied me three times. And what put him in that place of failure? What put him in that place? It was persecution by being identified with Jesus, simply being a follower of Jesus. The persecution in Africa, North Africa today, where thousands of Christians are being killed, is not because they're militant, military, political. It's because they are followers of Jesus. That's all it takes to bring the ire of the enemy. And he's able to move and motivate people to be hurtful and harmful. So the scenario goes like this. Jesus has been crucified. The crowd cried for his crucifixion. They're out for blood. And Peter's warming himself at a fire. And someone hears his speech and said, you're one of the, maybe it was Aramaic, maybe it was the tongue that he was speaking in, but they said, you're one of those followers of Jesus. And he said, no, not me. Trying to avoid persecution. You can't avoid it. You can't avoid it. On your job, go to pray for somebody. Did that cost you your job? It cost you your job because you took someone by the hand and to pray with them, and they took an offense because you didn't approach them more gently or however they identified it. Cost you your job. That's persecution. It's heavy duty stuff. You're one of them. No, I'm not. And then they pressured him. You're one of his disciples. And he's distancing himself from Jesus. He said, no, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. He said, your speech betrays you. You are one of those followers of Jesus. And he swore with an oath. Now, when I see swore with an oath, I think of a four-letter words or more-letter words that might be used to say emphatically, I'm not a follower of him. But it was something that a Hebrew was not supposed to do, and that is say, in the name of Jehovah, in the name of God, I am not a follower of Jesus Christ. He swore with an oath and said, not only do I not know him, I never knew him. Now this is the man a few hours before that said, I'll never forsake you. I'll never not confess you. So the world and he who influences all of the darkness of this fallen world hates Christ, and therefore he hates Christians. By the way, the spirit of Antichrist is not just that son of perdition that's coming. It's anti-Jesus and it's anti-follower of Jesus. And that spirit of Antichrist didn't just work against Jesus Christ, but against you and against me. The fact that you're in church this morning, somebody will say, oh, she's one of them. Well, I'm glad to be one of them. I'm happy to have God's protection. If I didn't, I'd have been long gone. My life has been threatened. I've had a knife pulled on me by an escapee from the mental hospital, the veterans hospital. I've had a knife. Well, he didn't point it at me. He just pulled it out, you know, while we're discussing to let me know he could kill me if he wanted to. And I thought, well, if God lets him, I hope he gets me in a vital spot. Doesn't take his time doing it. Instant death, instant glory. Amen. Brother Venable, you actually think that way? I don't know any other way to think. Amen. What do you do when you're... I didn't have a gun in a drawer to pull out, but I had a sword. No weapon. You can't help but that it would be formed. But the Bible said in the book of Isaiah, no weapon. No weapon. Say it with me. No weapon. What a Thanksgiving message. I thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, you're used to Psalm 100. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, come before his presence with singing. We've been there. We've done that. Right now, we're under the gun. All of us. God knew who would be here this morning. He knew what you would need to hear. Amen. We're going through it. And it's... I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it because it's true. I'm a truth teller. It's going to get worse before it gets better. The scripture said, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Amen. Evil is going to continue to exponentially come forth in a fallen world in a last day generation. And because iniquity shall abound, lawlessness, a rejection of any kind of authority, a rejection of truth, a rejection of Christians and followers of Christ. They just had a $250,000 settlement. It was a 10-year battle with the Homeowners Association. This is this week on the internet. A 10-inch little cross in front of a flower pot in the yard of a home in a gated community had a little 10-inch cross, wooden cross, white. Just you couldn't see it unless you were looking for it. The Homeowners Association said, that's got to go. That cross has got to go. And this Christian family said, no, it isn't. It's a 10-inch cross in front of a flower pot in our yard. It's not a big old cross that, you know, it's not going. And evidently they were well off. They were able to fight this legally with a lawyer. And so it went back and forth for about 10 years. The Homeowners Association tried to force them to remove a 10-inch cross. The Bible speaks of enemies of the cross. Listen carefully. That little cross was so intimidating. Just that little representation. Some schools in the last couple of years, you couldn't wear red or green because red and green was Christmas, and Christmas was somehow. Remember when Merry Christmas, they quit saying Merry Christmas? Only Happy Holidays. Because you say Merry Christmas, you need use the name of Christ. And the spirit of what? Anti-Christ. Not anti-God in a generic sense. Not anti-religion in an overarching sense. But in the specific sense, anti-Christ. Can you say amen? You know why? Because the Bible said there is no other name given under heaven unto men. If you're going to follow Jesus, this is what the Bible teaches. This is what he himself said. There is no other name in the book of Acts given under heaven unto men by which we must be saved. No, Christianity will never be able to blend with other world religions. It stands out because there's no other name by which we must be saved, given to men under heaven, but the name of Jesus Christ. And to show you the animosity, the spirit of Antichrist, when a lame man was healed, how was he healed? Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And lifting him up, he was healed. He ran into the temple, leaping, running, and praising God. You'd think they would rejoice that the Messiah has come. No. They turned on the apostles, brought them before a religious court. And they asked him, by what authority did you heal this man? In other words, you didn't run it through us. You think the homeowners association is bad. Wait till you hear about the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They were way worse. And you know how they answered him? Say, remember the man that you put on that cross and said, crucify him, and convinced Pilate to do it? Whom God hath raised from the dead through faith in his name. This man stands before you whole. Faith in his what? In his name. So there's something about that name to us when we hear Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus.
Can you sing that?
I haven't sung it.
He's actually singing it with me. Thank you, brother. I believe you could sing it. You know why it's touching our heart? Because if you know him, if you truly know him, there's something about that name. But I'm going to tell you something else. When the devil hears that name, no, 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 no. He knows the power of it, the authority of it, because he knows the man that hung on that tree. He knows the prophecy from Genesis. Amen. Man has fallen. I've won the day. Darkness has filled this world. Hope has been all. Hope is lost. And all the population of the world from here on out are mine. But there was a prophecy, wasn't there? About the seed of a woman. Hallelujah. And when he comes, you will bruise his heel, but
bruise his head.
But he will bruise your head. In other words, his wound will not destroy him, but your wound is going to destroy you. Can you say amen? And who is that man? The seed of the woman, the stem out of the root of Jesse. Hallelujah! It's Jesus. Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, a Savior has come. And through his name, this man is healed. And through this same name, you can be saved today. For there is no other name given among men. That's why it's anti-Christ, not anti-religion. That's why there's so many world religions. Why doesn't the devil fight them? Because there's no saving power in them. Why does he fight him? Because he said, amen, I am the way. I'm not a way. Come on, listen, if you're going to be a Christ follower, amen, wear persecution as a badge of authenticity. Glory to God. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But in this world, therefore, you're going to have trouble. But cheer up. Cheer up. If there's a message I want to give a whole bunch of Christians, cheer up. I said, cheer up. But they did this to me. Well, cheer up. Do you know why they did it to you? Do you know what's behind it? We're not arguing against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. Put on the armor of God. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. It's not the people. Behind it all, there are spiritual forces. But listen, he that is for you, if God be for you, and I've discovered this, my battles are not over. I'm in the twilight of my life. I know 70 is given to man. That's 70 years. Amen. January will be my 79th birthday. I've been preaching the gospel. I've been proclaiming the gospel. I've been shouting it, telling it, and if you come here more than once, you'll find out that I don't have any pets in this room. We all get it, including me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't follow some preacher that is some superstar. I follow Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not going to answer to you for your soul. I'm going to answer to Him for your soul. So I'm going to tell you the truth on Sunday morning. If you give, thank God for it. If you don't give, God will send somebody who will. He has met our need for 53 years and counting. So I'm not preaching for the offering. I'm not preaching for the applause. I'm not preaching for you to like me. I hope you will love me. I hope I can love you. I ask God to help me love you. Amen. Even if you're unlovable, and you guys are lovable, most of you. Amen. Amen. I'm serious. I'm a blessed pastor. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for you. I like the bumper sticker. It said, God loves you, and I'm trying. I'm trying. I'm not just trying. I'm asking God to help me to love you with His love. And to let you know that His love is not permissive. His love corrects us. Faint not when you're chastened of Him. It's proof that you belong to Him. So not only do you have persecution from the world, you get a whooping from God every now and then. So He said, when the world persecutes you, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Everybody say, cheer up. What is exceeding gladness? What does that look like? What does that feel like? Is it when someone wins the lotto? What would well up in you? Well, I'm not that you play the lotto. I don't know what you do. Amen. But, you know, let's put it this way. What if somehow or another $1 million was put to your account by an anonymous benefactor? And they told you this is legit. How would you react to that? How would you react to suddenly becoming a millionaire? Would you rejoice at all? My brother's full of wisdom this morning, helping me preach. He said, if you have any sense, you would. Amen. You got any sense today? Ain't you got no sense? Amen. If you don't rejoice, if you suddenly became a millionaire, you do not deserve the $1 million. Amen. You seriously don't deserve it. But why would we rejoice? Because suddenly we don't have to worry about Tampa Electric and that light bill. Lord have mercy, I'm glad that the heavenly city is going to be lit by the glory of God according to the book of Revelation. Amen. His glory and all of those precious stones that make up the foundation and even the walkways and the highway into that city is transparent gold. Everything is going to allow the light of His glory to shine. Can you imagine like a prism of all different colors of beauty? Amen. The light of the glory of God is going to illuminate this whole place, and there won't be no light bill. Glory be to God. I'll tell you, I could trade cars if I didn't have the light bill. Amen. Honestly, I could get a car. Who got a good deal on a Lincoln from a 96-year-old man? Was he 96 or 95? Down in St. Petersburg, how many miles did he put on that thing? 55,000 miles. It's an older model, but it only has 55,000 miles. What a blessing that they got that car. I was telling them what a blessing it was looking inside. Amen. And they told me, they said, these people are giving. They've been good to me. They said, Brother Venable, if you ever want to take Pamela out to someplace fancy, you can borrow our car. I said, oh, we're not going to no place that fancy, amen, that my old Pathfinder won't, will be looked down on. And I don't want to go to a church that fancy either, where did you ever get a, we've been praying for you to get an automobile. Not yet? Nope. So I asked her one time, would you be ashamed to pull your, and I asked you what you drove. Do you remember what you told me? I currently don't have a vehicle. And I said, well, would you be embarrassed pulling your currently not owning a vehicle in beside a Mercedes, brand new today? Amen. Some people will judge you by the car you drive. Some people will judge you by the church you go to. We've had people leave our church because it just didn't put them in the strata of society that they wanted to be in. They wanted to be in a church where the pastor drove up in a Bentley or a, you know, one of those fancy $150,000 jobs. Amen. And that's fine. That's fine. But listen to me. What's wrong with all of this is we are the rich. We are the regal. We are the sons and daughters of the living God. Amen. And there are no rich and no poor when you get down to the foot of the cross. Cars don't mean nothing. Bank accounts don't mean anything. You can be a bodybuilder. You can be a singer. You can be a movie star, a Wall Street mogul, but when you get at the foot of the cross, there's a common ground. Hallelujah. Amen. In Jesus Christ, there's neither rich nor poor. In Jesus Christ, there's neither bond nor free. In Jesus Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. Oh, thank God for the cross. Somebody say thank God. Now we're getting into Thanksgiving. Thank God for the cross. In Jesus Christ, there's neither male nor female. But we are one in Jesus Christ. Thank God, hallelujah, that I don't have to put on the dog when I stand at the foot of the cross. No one can. I heard the story of the man who said, you know, when they come for me, I work my whole life. I don't trust banks. I have got everything I have into gold bullion. And I've got it in a suitcase that I can't even hardly carry. It's got wheels on it that I can pull it. And he said, when they, this is just a story, not true, but there are a lot of people like that. And he said, so when my call to heaven comes, I work my whole life for this. I'm not leaving it behind. So as the story goes, amen, he dies. He and his gold bullion suitcase on wheels arrive at the gate of heaven. And he's ready to go in because he's barely been saved. He just got his priorities all mixed up. He arrives at the gate and the gatekeeper says, okay, mister, we welcome you. What's in your suitcase? He said, I worked my whole life. My whole lifetime is represented. It's full of gold bars. And he said, you mean you brought pavement? The streets in this city are paved with transparent solid gold. Pavement is all that. Listen, so much of what people are selling their soul for are worthless without the salvation and the grace that is granted us through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be a Christian. I'm not saying this because I'm supposed to say something about that. I'm saying this out of a personal experience with Jesus. If I wasn't a preacher, if I wasn't called to preach, if I hadn't preached for all of these years, I would want to tell people about my Jesus and about how good He is to me. Hallelujah. We got with a missionary as we worked to a close this morning, and you can bring up my song list. We'll have one song. We borrowed my stepdad's pickup truck. He had it gassed up. We almost ran out of gas coming back from Miami. But we took a missionary and a load of clothes and stuff for the mission field to the Miami airport from Central Florida. Borrowed his pickup truck, promised to fill it up with gas, which I don't think we ever did. We tried to. We were broke by the time we got back. We got halfway to Miami, and the missionary said, "It looks like rain, and all this stuff is going to get wet. We didn't have a tarp over it. Let's pull in here at this motel." And so we pulled into a motel, and we said, "We don't have any money." She said, oh, that's all right. I got enough in the offering that I can get us both rooms, room for me and room for you and your wife." We said, okay. And it was a little cheap motel. We went in, and we enjoyed that room. It was a great story I can't tell this morning about the wrestling match we had with demon forces, because we're doing something for God. And so anyway, got up the next morning. We had no suitcase. We had no toothbrush. We had no... It had been a hot day, and we were not presentable to go in a nice restaurant, as we thought. And we thought, you know, we're hungry. She says, "Come on, let's go in the International House of Pancakes." Now, that was fancy to us, IHOP. Let's go. And I thought, boy, that sounds good. Pancakes and syrup and melted butter and whatever else you want to put on it. I could eat me some pancakes this morning, but I got bad breath and stinky underarms, and I shouldn't go in that nice restaurant. See where we're coming from. And she said something to me, and I never forgot it. Not to make us proud as Christians, but to let us know something that we need to know. She said, "Come on." I said, "We don't have, we're not presentable." She said, "Listen, if you're very authoritative, we are the servants of the Most High God. Now, come on." And I thought, yeah, I'm a servant of God. I got stinky underarms and I got bad breath, but I'm a servant of the Most High God. Can you say amen? Now, that don't mean quit brushing your teeth because you're a servant of the Most High God. Can you say amen? Or not quit taking a shower? What it does mean is don't let nobody convince you that of your worth and your value based on who you are, what car you drive, how much money you got in the bank. Don't compete and don't compare. If you have Christ, if you have Jesus, if your sins are forgiven, if you're on your way to heaven, hallelujah, then you are a child of God. You're not just an old sinner saved by grace. Now, Paul said, it's changed. You are the sons of God. You're the daughters of God. It doesn't appear what we shall be, but when He comes, we'll know Him as He is, for we shall be just like Him. Can you say amen? But until He comes, we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God, servants of the King of Glory. And that shouldn't make us proud and boastful. It should humble us, but give us confidence that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We have no expectation of the world to accept us or embrace us. And the fact that it does not means that we're a true follower of Jesus. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. But the servant is not greater than his Lord. Can you say amen? The spirit of Antichrist doth already work. So the spirit of Antichristian is already in place. And it will get worse as time goes on. But he said, cheer up. Cheer up. Cheer up. I have gone before you. And if God before you, not just go before you, but before you, who can be against you? No weapon. No weapon. No weapon. Weapons will be formed. And you know what he said about the forming of the weapon? He said, I created the weapon, and I created he that forged it out of iron ore and made it into a weapon. And I created the waster to destroy. That enemy that's coming against you, I created and I have authority over. This fallen angel was created. He's not a creator. He claims God because of what man made him, but not because of what he is. He is under the control of Jesus Christ. He is subject to the name of Jesus Christ. If you ever go to cast out a devil, don't do it in the name of Joel Osteen. Don't do it in the name of Billy Graham. Don't do it in your name. Because some guys decided to go into the demon casting out business, seven sons of Sceva, because they saw Jesus do it. They saw Paul do it. And they decided, you know, we'll become exorcists. And we'll get paid for getting the devil out of people. And they ran upon a man that was demon possessed. And they had the formula just right. But they didn't have the authority to use that formula. Because they were not Christians and followers of Jesus. Yeah. Amen. And they got a hold of him. And they said, in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preacheth, come out. And the demon spoke back to them and said, Paul, I know. I recognize his authority. As a follower of Jesus, to use the name of Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Aren't you glad that he knew not only Jesus, but he knew a follower of Jesus who is equally authorized to use his name? Hallelujah. Praise God. But who are you? I do not recognize you nor your authority. Now, I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't want to wrestle this guy right here. I wouldn't want to wrestle you either. In fact, I wouldn't want to wrestle you. You're short as me, but you're thicker than I am. Amen. In fact, you better be careful going home that the popo don't stop you for having two big guns in your front seat. Amen. Amen. I'm no match, and I know I'm no match. But it's not me. It's not you. It's Jesus and his absolute authority. So Isaiah says this. God said, I created the weapon. I created the one who is wanting to use it against you. And by the virtue of the fact that I created the waster that's coming to destroy this warrior that has this weapon of iron and steel and is set for your destruction. And I'm telling you, I have authority over him. And no weapon that is formed against you. Didn't say they wouldn't be, but said no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. This is the heritage. This is the birthright of the servants of the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want to tell everyone in every persecuted nation that there is a God in heaven who reigns over those who want to hurt and to harm you. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard to curb the force of that flood and turn it away from you. Hallelujah. You don't live in a bubble. You will be persecuted. But if God be for you, no weapon will prosper. Now there's a time to go home, and if I go home as a martyr, if time comes that I lay down my life for the gospel, then it'll be time. But until that time comes, no weapon, no weapon. You say, Brother Venable, are you boasting? Nobody can take you out. You reach in your pocket for whatever you got in it, your razor, your gun, your knife. Amen. I'll show you right now. If God allowed that, I will become a martyr right here today. You will become a killer. I'll go to heaven. Amen. When I draw my last breath, I'm out of here. I'm gone. Don't fear him that can kill the body and not do nothing else. Fear him that can cast soul and body into hell. I know you don't hear about hell in most churches, but you're not in most churches this morning. I fear the Lord. I'd rather go to heaven as a martyr than stay here and go to hell with the rest of the folk that are headed that way. But until he calls me home, allows me to go home, I'm here. And you're stuck with me. And I'm glad to be stuck with you. Hallelujah. All those that live godly shall suffer persecution without exception. Be thankful that you are so identified with Jesus that the Antichrist spirit of this fallen world would come against you like that, because that qualifies you as a true follower of Christ. Marvel not that the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you. The world system hates. And this is this tolerant group, be tolerant of everything. You all are intolerant. Listen, marvel not if the world hates you. It hated me before it hated you. But when they cast your name out as evil and speak all manner of evil about you, hang your head and say, oh, they don't like me at work. They don't like me. I got family members won't even come to see me because I'm a Christian. I know. What did he say to do about that? When they cast your name out as evil, speak all manner of evil about you, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. What does exceedingly glad look like? It looks like $1 million put to your account, only far greater. Hallelujah. Amen. And I was told that you, if you had any sense, can you say, man, you would rejoice. I always put it this way. If you had the sense God gave a billy goat, you would rejoice. And that's why we're told as Christians who would be persecuted for being followers of Christ, rejoice in the Lord always. And it's reiterated because he knew we need to have it reiterated. Don't forget about it. Don't forget it. And again I say, rejoice. Amen. If I come in here bubbling over, rejoicing, you know I have been through it. Amen. Something has occurred during the week to put me through it. Oh, everybody's not going to love you. Some people are not even going to like you. There will be those that absolutely hate you. Can you say amen? But be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome the world and I went before you and I'm going to keep you through all of this. And I want you to have a grateful, thankful, rejoicing heart in spite of it all. So this Thanksgiving, thank him for the persecution. Thank him for the troubles. Thank him. Thank him. Amen. Don't just thank him for the meal and all of this. Listen, thank him for the problems you've had. Thank him for the pressure that comes on you. Say, Lord, I'm so glad to be yours. Wear it as a badge of authenticity that you are a real follower of Jesus and you follow him close enough that the devil's really upset about it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is good. And if you start doing that, when you come to church under the persecution, under the pressure, you can set that aside and say, I'm so glad to be a follower of Jesus. I'm so glad to be part of the persecuted instead of part of the party crowd out here. I'm not expecting the world to embrace me. Can you say amen? I do not expect them to pat me on the back for having a moral code that keeps me from stealing and killing and doing all other kind of dastardly deeds. Amen. I'm glad to be identified as a follower of Jesus Christ. So given the opportunity to worship, I'm going to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Hallelujah. Well, that's my Thanksgiving message. Actually, it's not mine, it's God's. Why wouldn't you just talk about being grateful for things, Pastor Venable? Because God knew you would be here today. I didn't know who was going to show up. There's some people I expect to show up. I didn't know for sure till I come. Circumstances come. God knew you were going to be here. If you come to this church, I don't prepare a message. Listen, I got scriptures marked. I got messages. I got a Thanksgiving message. I can't wait till next year. Maybe he'll let me preach it. It's a good one. But God knew who would be here. And he knew what the need was. And I try to preach what he gives me, not what is trending, but what is true. Because truth received will set you free. And we need that freedom that we were talking about just a little while ago. How many people in this room need a special grace to endure what the Bible, let me give you the scripture, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Endure hardness. You got to toughen up to follow Jesus in an anti-Christian, anti-Christ world. So let's toughen up. But let's be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. But let's toughen up. And let's find the joy of the Lord to strengthen us. And let's rejoice that we were counted worthy. The Apostle Paul said, after enumerating all he had been through, and it was awful what he went through, he said, I rejoice that I'm counted worthy to suffer for his sake. That's how much I love him. So if you're looking for a church that promises you a Bentley and a life in a bubble where everything happens to your good, nothing ever touches you but good, amen. I'd hate to be King Midas. Midas touch, everything turns to gold. You know why? Because sometime I might want to eat that turkey and that dressing and put some gravy on it while we're at it, and cranberry sauce and pumpkin pie, and why not put some whipped cream on top of that pie while we're at it. I'd hate to touch the turkey and have it turn to gold. You're starved to death. There are people starving spiritually because they bought into the Midas touch. Everything in my life is just going to be nothing but good. Nothing but gold and silver and perfect everything because I'm a follower of Jesus. Oh, dear friend, you wouldn't follow Jesus around the block, because the moment the persecution arises, the crowd that want to follow him begins to trail off. Can you say amen? But to be a true follower of Jesus, you've got to get some joy from somewhere. And you ain't going to give it from a world that hates you. You're going to get it from a God who loves you enough to give his son. And that's why I'm so thankful today. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ, who is the unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for the unspeakable gift beyond description. Praise God. So that I can love him back when I understand how precious he is and what the value of his blood and his life laid down for me. Whom having not seen, you love with joy unspeakable. indescribable, and full of glory. What do you think that would look like in churches across America? Unspeakable joy. Praise God. I can't describe it. There'd be a lot more spirit-filled people talking in tongues. You know why? You know why? Because there's no language, no verbiage, nothing in the language of any people in the world that can begin to describe the glory of God giving His Son and Jesus giving His life for me and for you. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Can you say amen? Will you stand to your feet? I'm glad you came today.